Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. One more time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God.
First Samuel 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Verse 10, again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all your children? Not sure why they left D in the field, but perhaps his father thought otherwise, you know? Didn't quite hear all your children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep, but I didn't think you wanted to see him. Hallelujah. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. Now, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Amen. I just want to talk to you for a few minutes about sheep and oil. Amen? Is that all right? Would you pray right now and ask God to help you? help me. God, we need your help tonight. And God, I'm praying that you just curve my tongue and help me say everything I need to say tonight by your anointing. In Jesus' name, help all of our hearts to hear and have an ability to understand. Convert us from anything tonight we need conversion from. And we'll give you thanks. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Again, we just love all the people of God. Yes. Even if you smell like sheep. Thank you. Praise God. Even preachers have special effects. This is great. But you're right. We're all sheep, aren't we? Preacher and all. And that's okay. It's okay that we are who we are. We are who we are because God made us who we are. A few more verses that I want to read, but I just want to make a comment or two here on the ones that we did read so far here in the Word of God. God had called Samuel to do two things. Number one, stop blubbering over Saul. And get your horn and fill it with oil for someone who's not going to be like Saul. So that's the one side of this. That God had to send somebody with oil to anoint David. Now, the back history of Samuel, we all know well because I've commented enough over the last several years to talk about his mama. But not too bad for a prayer. Give me a man child and I'll lend him back to you. And he becomes a priest and wears the linen ephod and ends up growing up and judging all of Israel and being a prophet and a man of God and anointing the first two kings of Israel. Not too shabby for a prayer. God, give me a child. End this barren womb. Not bad from a barren womb, huh? God can do great things. He's the great and mighty God. He can cause life to come out of death. He really can. So this man has been, he's old, and there's some history that we're not going to go through for Saul, how he met Saul and anointed Saul, and now Saul has become a disappointment. And God's just saying, stop worrying about the Saul. I'm saying to you tonight, stop worrying about Sauls. Stop pouring out the tears from your eyes for those that don't want to live for God. And just make sure your horn is full of oil because somebody wants to live for God. And they need the oil, not your tears. So that's the one side of this. So in order for David to be anointed, the man of God has to obey the Lord and just wipe his eyes and get over Saul. But here he comes. He's on his way. The oil's on its way. Amen. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad Jesus came and found you? Amen. You found Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. I'm sure everyone wanted to walk past old Matt. Didn't care a thing about him. Prayed that maybe he'd have a heart attack before the day was over. Fall off a cliff, they wouldn't care. God willing. But Jesus called him. Jesus is full of oil. And he came to anoint. It's true. We're all here today because Jesus loved you enough to find you where you were in life and anoint you to become a child of God. Smell and all. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're here in verse 10, and Jesse is making all of his sons to pass before Samuel because he knew something was up. It was a big deal when the man of God came into town. And he came kind of undercover because he was kind of watching out for Saul. At this point, Saul was disobedient, and so Samuel feared for his life. I skipped that part of the reading, but the Lord said, well, call a sacrifice and bring a sacrifice. You're just there to worship and call Jesse and his sons to the sacrifice, and I have a king among his sons. And when he didn't see all the sons there, he figured, well, God's not talking to me about all these. So again, there's a lot to the story, isn't there? There's the mindset of Jesse. Well, why didn't he think David was eligible for this meeting? he made the decision. He just grabbed seven of his oldest boys, the one he felt like, well, these are the ones that he'd want to see anyhow. Isn't it amazing how we can prejudge? And that's why it's so important to be led of the Spirit of God. And just follow God, because we can look at circumstances and size it all up, and God is it sized. He has it sized up totally different. And that's what he taught in verse 7 here of the 16th chapter. He taught Samuel that lesson when Samuel looked upon Eliab and said, surely this is the man. I mean, he's just king. He's got king written all over him. And the Lord said, no, I've refused him. I don't see like man sees. And we're going to read pretty much why Eliab wasn't chosen. Well, we know why he wasn't chosen. God looks on the heart. So it was a lesson to learn. So just throwing that out there as we talk about this tonight, what I'd like to share with you about yourself, about ourselves. Now, here tonight, I'm not talking about the smell of sheep being on David as far as being a sinful life. I'm not referencing sinful life. I'm talking about where you are, who you are, what you do every day. That was anointed. David came in from the sheep field. He didn't have time to shower and shave. Not that he would have at that age, but he didn't have that time to smell up real good and get all fancy. He just came walking out from tending sheep, so I'm sure he smelled like the sheep, smelled like the fields. He just smelled like he'd been out in the sheep field with the sheep. So I'm sure it was quite a surprise to Jesse, because he had made all of his sons pass before him again. Like, what's the problem, old man? I don't know, you can speculate here. I don't know that any one of them were standing there saying, wow, he's about to anoint the next king. I don't think so. I could be wrong, but they knew it was a big deal for Samuel to be there. And what he was wanting to do and why, the Lord knew. But I'm sure it was a surprise to all of them when David came in, and as we've read, verse 13, that he anointed him in the presence of his brethren. Now, the other night while we were having church and ministering the word of the Lord, that just kind of hit me really strong about the fact that David was there smelling like sheep but anointed of God. So there was a dual smell. When that oil was running down his head and onto his smelly sheep garments, you had two smells mixing. An anointing oil that smelled pretty good. It was made to smell pretty good. It was the anointing oil from the apothecary, according to the formula that God had given Moses. And he anointed him. And then you had the sheep smelling going on all at the same time, which for us signifies the anointing for that which David was to become. And yet he received it while he was not yet what he was going to be. Now let me just stop here and just jump ahead a little bit to 1 Corinthians 15. Every single one of us are anointed to become something different than what we are today. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 15, we bear grain. We don't bear that body which shall be, but we bear an anointing for that body. We are anointed to become immortal. We are anointed to put off corruption and put on incorruption, to take mortality and be clothed upon with immortality. It's not just all about this life and who you are in this life. We are anointed of God. We are saved from the wickedness of this world for a time yet to come. Hallelujah. And while David realized along the way what that anointing really was and what it was for, he would not sit upon the throne of Israel for quite some time. There would be years that would pass, and lots of circumstances that would come before David would ever fulfill why he was anointed. And this is why the Word of God teaches us to be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Be patient. Doesn't the Scripture teach us? Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Isn't that right? It's not just about in this life lacking nothing, but it's most importantly, we have a hope for that which is yet to come. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are filled with hope. We are saved by hope. Isn't that right? Praise God. We are being transformed every day. We are being conformed into his image. And we now have something inside of us that is bringing us to a time of great redemption and change. And the question is whether or not we will be patient unto that coming. That we will not turn to the right hand, we will not turn to the left hand. And see, here's where I think we can appreciate more and more when we read scriptures in like the revelation of Jesus Christ that says, herein is the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. We're being patient for a reason. You're not patient for no reason. If we have to exercise patience, something's happening to cause the need for patience. So when our life is on trial and we're going through struggles and our walk with God is going through the fire, right? We read those scriptures from Peter, right? That tribulation worketh patience, right? Experience and hope and all of these things that come. But it works patience as we dig in. Patience says, dig in, hold on, it's still coming. Praise God. The suffering of this present time cannot change what you're anointed to become. He said it like that in Romans 8, did he not? Can anything separate us from the love of God? Can this, can that, can the other separate us from the love that is in Christ and the love that purchased us, not just for a time now, but for that which is yet to come? If we can be patient for it, Paul said, there's a crown laid up for those that love him and wait for him and walk with him. There's a crown waiting for you. Can you be patient enough until you wear that crown? Right. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I hope you see that. And so the figurative speech here tonight is that we are anointed, right, like David was, even though we might smell like sheep. Yeah. It didn't bother the Lord any that he smelled like sheep. We're always called where we are. You know, the statement from some of the denominations, they sing that song, Come As You Are, right? Just as you are. And it's true. That's the only way we can come to Jesus is just as we are. That's right. He's not afraid to save us just as we are. I mean, he'll change us from what we are in this life and in that which is yet to come. But he's not afraid of that. And when we're converted, here's the thing. In the midst of our walk with God, side note here, that there are things that happen in this life that we are called to become. And this is where we need to exercise patience as well, because God might show us something. He might show us something to come that will happen in this life. And we must learn how to be patient until the time is fulfilled where we step into that role. Right. Now, we've been anointed of God, called of God to do that, to become that. But the time's not yet. Looking back in the past and seeing many moments where, you know, yeah. You're anointed to become something, but you're not that yet, so step back and keep your mouth closed. Praise God. The time will come. And we all go through that, but here is a lesson where it's good to point these things out so that when this comes upon you, that you'll be patient and not try to make what you've been anointed for happen before its time. Isn't that right? We have to be patient and just let God be God and just learn to follow God until what God is forming in us is fulfilled. Our whole life is like that when referring to that which is yet to come. We're having to be patient. Our whole life is a life of patience. That we allow what God wants to work in us by the Holy Ghost to work in us that we spend our time not struggling all the time with ourselves, but spend more time praying and more time yielding and more time becoming. Life will be a whole lot more fun that way. Instead of just struggling. Struggle, struggle, struggle. It's not all struggle. Life is not all struggle. There's enough of it sprinkled in between that we don't need to create more of it for ourselves. So Samuel took the horn of oil in verse 13 and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. Now, that's a powerful scripture, but I love how scripture reads. He anointed him because it's almost like God is, God is responsible for the manufacture of this book, hands down. How each verse is constructed, how it's said, and the cool thing I've discovered over the years is if I could become prayerful enough to see it, that it's almost like we're able to, by the Spirit of God, read a verse the way God intended it to be read, the way he was thinking when it got written. So it's like you feel from the Lord the attitude, the insight, and I want to say it just like this. Because they all might have been standing there proud as a peacock thinking, yep, I'm the one, whatever this is for. And yet we read, and the Lord anointed him in the midst of them all. God said, I'll be exalted. And just let them suck on their pride a while. Praise God. Isn't that amazing when God calls somebody that you don't think should have been called? When God works a great work in someone you think, no, not him. I mean, that's the only thing I can think that even David's pop thought, well, not David, because he wasn't there. So I can't think that he wasn't invited to go out after to eat after church because, you know. I'm just saying. Just trying to be funny. Two chuckles. I guess I didn't do a good job. I know, maybe I'm tired too, Sister Gloria. I'm not being humorous enough. But it's a people thing because we're judges. It's in human nature to judge. You go to school, you develop a circle of friends, and then you develop a circle of, they will not be my friend. Right? Sit at another cafeteria table, not this one. You know, there's the nerd table. Then there's the, you know, long-haired hippie table. And then, there's all sorts of tables where people migrate. There's the loners and the loners who are completely, you know, introverted. And they don't even want to be in school. That's how much they don't like crowds.
Yeah, that was true.
See, if I keep talking, I'll reach somebody. I'm just saying that that's the way people are. I'm not saying you're like that. I'm just saying that people in general. And so sometimes we don't see this in the reading. We just read the scripture because our mind is ahead of the game, right? Our mind's always thinking ahead of what I'm trying to read for. And we skip over these sometimes precious little nuggets to chew on. That God, now they all those older brothers probably got all groomed up because the message came. They're being called. And I don't know how much time it took for Samuel to set the sacrifice up. So they had time to go in there in the mirror and Bobby used to do this all the time, you know. He had that rolling comb and that hairdo, and you know, I'd be like, "Dude, you're worse than a woman. Get out of the bathroom," you know, because we were bunking and sharing certain places together. Maybe I shouldn't be saying all this, but I used to get I just got a picture of him. He would just. He was born in the wrong day, you know. He should have been back in the Fonz days. And he was just like the Fonz, where he'd zip his coat, everything. I'm like, wow, dude, you're cool. How did we hook up, you know? So they probably got all groomed up, and they're all standing there, you know. And they might have been chiding with one another. Who knows? And here came the smelly little brother.
The sheep boy.
Ruined the whole atmosphere. God said, that's the one. You know what? It doesn't matter how saved we are. If we get lifted up with pride, God's going to cast us down. In one way or another. Maybe it's by a word or by a circumstance. Not because he hates you, because he loves you. Whom the Lord chastens, right? He loves. But there's a formula that works in God all the time. A haughty spirit, right? Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's just the word of God. If it's there, you can expect it to come. And he gave it to them. All right, let me hurry here. I hope this is okay. Everybody with me? Everyone still awake?
Yeah.
Okay, if I don't look awake, just yell. Hallelujah. If I start drifting, you know, start talking about Paul, you know something's wrong. So after he's anointed, I just want to read verse 19 to you. Glory. Probably should read verse 18 too. This is the difference. Now, time is passing between chapter 16 and 17. And David's going through experiences. Because when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you go through experiences. And a lot of the experiences that you go through are God-induced. They're because of the anointing. Just want to say, no matter what you go through, no matter how you learn the lessons, good, bad, or indifferent, when you're led of God now, things are different. Because once you're anointed, now you start becoming why you were anointed and what you were anointed for. And this is exciting, and I hope I can pass this on to you. With respects to that which is yet to come, no matter how far away it might seem, the scripture says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we'll appear with him in glory. It's not that far away. Not that far. But in this life, we're going through everything we're going through because it's creating within us. It's working us towards why we're anointed and what we're anointed for. So don't think that this is different from that. This is connected to that. The scripture teaches us in Hebrews that we are tasting of the powers of the good world to come. That's how good God is, that he just poured heaven to us and said, I want you to taste it for your lifetime. There's more where this came from. He's given us the earnest of our inheritance. Isn't that what the apostle wrote? The earnest of our inheritance. What's that mean? He's saying there's a whole lot more where this came from, but I want you to have it now. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I want you to have it now. I want you to taste it now. I want to put something inside of this earthen vessel now so that your focus in life will not be the fact that you smell like sheep, but that you are smelling like oil. Because sometimes some of you get intoxicated with the smell of sheep and you go to church and God reminds you, you also smell like oil. Hallelujah. It's not just about what you do every day. It's about the fact that no matter what you do every day, you're anointed.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Oh, clap your hands to the Lord. Love him real good. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because sometimes the sheep smell wants to rise up above the oil smell. And we have to put the sheep smell in its place. I'm not talking about sinful living. I'm talking about you. You. It's another way of saying, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Why are you so troubled? Why are you so consumed? Why are you out there, you know, just overcome by the smell of life? That you have to live. Verse 18, praise God. So my point here in reading verse 18 into 19 is this is, David's been experiencing some things, and I'm not sure if already he's faced the lion and the bear at this particular point, but notice the difference. Now here's the little ruddy, fair countenance boy coming in from the field, anointed in the presence of his brethren. Anointed of God to be the next king of Israel. He's not there yet. He's just a kid. He's just a youth. But Saul, because he's disobedient, God sent a bad spirit to trouble him, and he's needing someone to play a harp, make him feel good. This is a great point. I love this. I tell you, every word of God is crafted and written for a reason. And Saul said, verse 17, "Provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me." Then answered one of the servants and said, "I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, cunning in playing, a mighty valiant man." He's a youth. But there's something about the anointing. There's something about what the anointing can do in a person's life. Have you ever had someone say after you've been converted, something different about you? So what's the report about this little sheep boy? He's cunning and playing and a valiant man. Don't tell me the anointing doesn't change you. A man of war, prudent in matters, and comely person, and the Lord is with him. And Saul said, sent messages unto Jesse and said, "Send me your anointed son." I'm adding that because it's true, which is with the sheep. Saul needs that anointing that he lost to make him feel better. So who does he have playing the harp? The anointing. God's so merciful. Praise God. Did you catch that? I'll say it again. He sent for the anointing. And God brought the next one on that's going to be on the throne, close to the throne, giving David a little foreshadow of where he's going, even though David had no idea. See, if you learn to follow God, the anointing will bring you into places you thought you would never go. So let's begin reading here in 17, and I'm trying to finish up real quick here. And 30, less, almost 30 now, okay. So Goliath's doing his thing. We know the story. And always love to mock him, but I don't want to take too much time doing that tonight. Verse 15. "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." Still a shepherd boy, still smelling like sheep, but he's anointed. Please let that sink deep into your ears in case at any one time you go out there to where you are and you start complaining about the smell of sheep and the sheep and where you are. I said to you at the beginning of the service, in everything give thanks. I think you'll grow from where you are if you're discontented with what you're doing, if you can become truly thankful in it and stop complaining about it. I'm not saying David was complaining about it. I'm saying David was still this, although he was anointed. So he returned, and he's feeding sheep. Verse 17, so some time has passed, and the Philistines drawing near. So a month has passed. David's been home for 40 days. Goliath is doing his thing. And Jesse said to David, "Take now for your brethren an ephah of parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to your brethren. Carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000 and look how your brethren fare, take their pledge." So they're out there fighting. In verse 20, David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, came to the trench. There will come a time when the anointing will move you on. David didn't go back to the sheep after this. Hallelujah. Can I say something to you tonight if you feel stuck in life? Anyone ever felt stuck? Have you ever said that? You ever gone to prayer and I just feel stuck, frustrated? Could I ask you a question? Are you anointed? Are you anointed? God has no problem pulling stuck saints out of the mud. What I'm here to tell you is change your thinking. You need to smell a different smell at that hour in your life. because the anointing will move you forward. So David is going, and I'm going to jump to Eliab, verse 28, because now David realizes why he's there and what's going on, and he's not liking it. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto them, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, "Why did you come here? I thought I told you that in the beginning of the conversation. Pop sent me, but a bigger pop sent me. Jesse sent me, but God sent Jesse to send me because I'm anointed." And the anointing is the only thing that can destroy the Goliaths of life. And if you and I could realize that when we face our Goliaths, we need to stop looking at ourselves as the sheep boy. It's not about who you are, what you are. It's about the anointing. It's not, look, if you're trying to make yourself something in life and then you feel like you can cope and handle things a whole lot better, you're looking at it wrong. David was not realistically any different than he was when Samuel poured all that oil on him. He wasn't out at the gym bench pressing every day. Saying, "Something's coming, I know it. So I just, you know, bench pressing sheep out in the field. Next." No, he just came walking in with the staff. He's got a sling. He's David. And he walked in smelling like sheep. I love this story, as you can tell. Praise God. I don't think he got all, you know, dolled up to go out and see his brothers fighting. Walked right in, and I'm sure Eliab looked around and said, "David's here somewhere. I can smell him." He said, "Why did you come here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know the pride and naughtiness of your heart. You've come to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause? You're not doing so hot, so I might as well be here." And so the story goes on, and of course, we end it with this tonight. And I'm going to jump right to verse 41. Actually, no, I'm going to read verse 40. Because in verse 39, after Saul tries to coat him with all that armor, David said, "I can't go with these. I haven't proved them. I'm a sheep boy." Oh, heaven help me tonight. Would you just be yourself? Praise God. Don't ever try to be somebody else. Be yourself. Because the anointing in you is sufficient to fight every battle you will fight that nobody else will fight for you. And you're going to fight it as you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's love him tonight. Let's love him tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I'm hurrying here. Praise God. So verse 40, and so David puts off all that armor, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. An anointed sheep boy. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. I could just see him out there going, are you the kid carrying the shield? Where's the warrior? Because again, all Goliath could see was the smelly sheep boy. Goliath couldn't see what was in the smelly sheep boy. He couldn't see the anointing. Praise God. He couldn't see who sent him. Hallelujah. Why are you worried about all the things that come against you? Why do you fret? Why, if you do? Do you know all your struggles are going to look at you? They're going to disdain you. Life's going to laugh at you. Things are going to say, you can't make it. You're going to fail. But they can't see your God. They can't see the one who bought you out of a world of sin. They can't see the one who anointed you to become a new creature. Praise God. You have a house waiting for you from glory. Not a physical house, a spiritual house that will clothe your soul. Hallelujah. They can't see that. So he looked about and disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with your staff? And he cursed David by his gods. And he spewed stuff out of his mouth. And then David said to him, well, you come to me with a sword, spear, shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Let's all stand. Glory.
Amen.
Glory.
God is good.
Hallelujah. 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 Love him a moment. Would you just call upon Jesus' name? I know it's been a long week. I've been right there with you. Come on. Love the Lord Jesus. Let him quicken you right now. Praise God. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for the anointing. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're anointed, hallelujah. We're anointed, hallelujah. Praise God. You're anointed, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So here's what I want to close with. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you know, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So while Goliath was so stunned by the earthen vessel, he didn't realize the treasure in him was going to bring him down. Do you notice the attitude of David? David didn't walk out there cocky. He didn't walk out there high-minded. He didn't walk out there trying to go. He didn't take all the armor, even though he probably struggled in it just to make himself look good and walk out there and be intimidating, did he? No, he had been some places with God. Now, he knew he was a sheep boy, and that didn't seem to bother him. What I want you to see in David is David's attitude while in the camp. What was musing inside of his heart and his mind, the fact that he called what was happening a reproach. Right. He'd already slain the lion. He'd already slain the bear. He knew God was with him. He knew God had kept him. He knew God gave him the strength to do those things. And he was appalled at the fact that this big chump out there was causing so much damage to the people of God. I'm saying his attitude was so affected by the anointing, not by the fact that he tended sheep. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just here to tell you tonight, let the anointing affect your attitude. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, let's love him one more time, would you? Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. It's the same name of the Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. The anointing says everything's going to be all right. Praise God, praise God. Glory, glory, hallelujah.